Hey there, everybody. Before we start the call this week, I just want to dedicate this episode to a co-worker of mine. He was a co-worker, he was a mentor, but most importantly, he was a friend. Frank Leung, he's a good friend of mine. He passed away about 2 weeks ago, and he helped me out throughout my entire career in the entertainment industry. When I was an intern, him and I went up to New York and we shot stuff on top of the Intrepid. And then as I became an actual employee of the place I currently work, him and I went to Boston together, filmed for another TV show. And he's helped me out to be in my current position that I'm at now. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Frank. He passed away about two weeks ago, right after Thanksgiving. He was only in his 60s. He just retired last month. It was very sad news to hear of his passing. We'll definitely miss him at work. But the most important thing, and why I'm saying this on the call, is because even though he was a great mentor and a great great guy and a great coworker, him and I went to Ravens games before. We went to Ravens games together, and it was a great experience. He actually took me to my first Ravens Steelers games. It was a Sunday night game. He knew I loved the Ravens, and he had season tickets, and he invited me to go to two games with him. And that's what I remember most when I think about Frank. Is even though we were really great coworkers, we loved to talk the Ravens. And the last time I saw him, it was about a month ago, and everybody kind of knew he was sick at that point. And I went up to him and I just said, you know, congrats on retiring. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me in my career and helped me throughout interning and yada yada. And he's like, yeah, whatever, whatever. Who'd you take for the Ravens game this week? So that's what he really loved. He really loved the Ravens, and he really loved this team. And I'm definitely going to miss him. I'm going to miss talking about the Ravens with him in the hallways. I'm going to miss working with him. But this episode of The Call this week is dedicated to Frank Leung. And we're going to miss you. And hopefully the Ravens go to the Super Bowl for you this year, Frank.
Said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, our listeners, how y'all doing? Those who returned from sunny Florida, hope you had a great trip. I've seen a lot of our fans down there. I know a lot of them are transplants, but whether you're listening from all the way in sunny Florida, right here in Baltimore, wherever you're at, welcome to The Call, Brandon. What a weekend.
What a weekend. And you're bringing up all the trips of everybody going down to Miami, man. I got jealous seeing a lot of my friends down in Miami on Facebook. I think you and I got to do a road trip to one of these really nice sunny games one of these days because, man, that looks like fun. December, there you are at the beach, sun hitting you in the face. That seems like a good time.
It does, man, and I always joke. I mean, I saw some tweets, a Twitter follower that I follow, she posted I don't know if it was like from a condo or hotel room, but she said a game day morning picture for Ravens game day, and it was the beach. Yeah. She was staying right on the beach. I'm like, man, and guys, I always joke about it. I'm like, I love Baltimore, love where I'm from, probably would never move because, you know me, I love my Ravens, and then with the culture and the Orioles and all that, I just love it, but I was joking. I said, if I move to South Florida, man, that I mean, just to visit there, I never visited South Florida. I've been as far as Orlando in Florida, been to Disneyland, my friends. But it looked like it was a great time. I mean, but I heard even the commentators were saying it was hot.
Yeah.
I don't know how hot the game was, but I mean, I've seen people fanning themselves in the stands. It looked hot.
Yeah, it definitely did. And so let's jump right into it. Up against the Dolphins. I got to be honest with you. I was pleasantly surprised because I didn't pick the Ravens last week in my pool that I do at work. I picked the Dolphins, given the fact that there were so many different injuries and Haloti Ngata getting suspended. I did not think the Ravens were going to be able to pull this off. Both teams are really fighting to get into that playoff spot. So I was like, man, it's going to be home. It's going to be hot. You know, there's so much going on. I don't see the Ravens being able to pull out a win here. But hey, here they go. They did it. These guys, they at least ended well. They started off a bit shaky, but... overall, what did you think of this game? Were you impressed with what the Ravens were able to do?
I mean, I was very impressed. And speaking upon that, it seems like we should pick them to lose because see the trend? I picked the Saints on Monday Night Football and they won. You picked the Dolphins and the Ravens won. So maybe we should start picking against them here.
I don't know if I want to do that every week.
But we did pick them against the Chargers. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what impressed me, man, is the resilience. Again, you know, yes, I was one. I already raised my hand. I ate my words. Into the first quarter, I really looked at my buddy and I said, bro, this is going to be an afternoon. When they scored the touchdown and go up 10-0, I'm like, yeah, first off, with the loss of Haloti Ngata, Lamar Miller started to run. So that concerned me there, Brandon, a little bit. And they were just moving down the field at will. And then on offense, we had two straight three and outs deep in their territory. We couldn't even get the ball past the 30-yard line. It was pathetic. I'm thinking, this team, they just took all that losing momentum they had from the Chargers game. And really, after that, the way the Chargers game ended and it carried over to the first quarter of the Dolphins game, it was like the Ravens' season was over. The way it looked, because it was just like, all right, you know, you can't come back from that, losing at home, heartbreaker, and I guess they're deflated, they're done. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if they had a talking to, because usually this team does this in the first half, and then they get a talking to in the second half, Brandon. They come out, and they come out firing. And you know how Ravens football is. It's almost like, yeah, I mean, I always joke about NASCAR fans. It's, you know, you watch a NASCAR race, well, just tune in the last 10 laps to see what happens. Well, it's like the Ravens game. Why don't we just tune in to start a third because you know the first half they're going to suck, and then the second half they're going to just – it's a different ball game. But with that being said, it was a tale of like – I wouldn't say two halves, but it was almost like the first quarter and then the next three quarters the Ravens just said enough's enough. They were getting after Tannehill. They were relentless. The secondary, I'm not surprised. They actually started covering, and we actually started moving the ball, which we couldn't. It was play after play after play, and the resilience. I mean, if you look at the box score, 10-0 in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden we outscored them 28-3. We just said enough is enough. And speaking of that, when I started off with saying how the run defense, Haloti Ngata, listen to this, Brandon. Lamar Miller gained 53 yards. And you would think after the first quarter, our streak's intact. The Ravens still came out with a 23-game streak with not allowing a 100-yard rusher, even without Ngata. That, to me, is the impressive stat of the game. I'm just going to look at that because Haloti Ngata is part of our front seven. He's a big piece, big missing. And to allow Lamar Miller to only have 53 total yards after the first quarter when he looked like he was just going to run at 10 yards a clip, that impressed me. And I just impressed with the resilience of this team. The gutsiness of going for it. I want to get right into this. This is the turning point of the game for me was the fourth down and one in their own deep in their territory. And I love the fact that they went for it. I even said before when I saw the play, I said they better stay on the field. Because here's the thing. You play the game not to lose but to win the game, right?
Right.
You gotta play. And I've always said, and you hear this every time we're on the call, each game it's its own story. You can't go in, you know, running in on fourth and one deep in the territory, a lot of teams would have punted there. I've seen social media, and I've actually caught out a few people where it was like they were ripping the coach for, I wouldn't have gone for it there. Well, that's why you're not an NFL head coach, because to me, you got to show the season's on the line. The Ravens, that's essentially a playoff game. They were saying this in a preview, that the loser of this game essentially out of playoff picture, and they would have been hurting, because then the Ravens would have had to win out and go to 10-6. At least it would have been bad. And we already lost the Chargers. You can't lose to the Dolphins. Those are right there. It means the Chargers and Dolphins would have made the playoffs. With that being said, and then see that fourth and down conversion allowed the Ravens to get the touchdown. They went right down. It was a touchdown. I believe that was a touchdown drive to Aiken, if I'm not mistaken, in the back of the end zone. So again, you know, yeah, you say hindsight 20, okay, if you don't make it, we're crucifying Harbaugh. And then obviously he went for it and it led to a touchdown drive. But here's the problem. How many times do you see the elite teams do that? You know, Belichick's lining up for 4th and 1. I don't know how John Fox's coaches can draw in Denver, but maybe the Broncos line up for it. These elite teams, they go for the kill. And that's why I think a couple of writers actually said about the Ravens, and maybe they're the only team to knock off the Patriots in January if they were to make the playoffs, because that showed guts. Yeah. That, to me, showed like that was Bill Belichick on the sideline. That was Tom Brady under center. It was like, no, we're going for it. Screw you guys, and we're going to win. And that's why I love that. That, to me, that play right there defined the season right now, defined the game. It was like, no, Harbaugh's like, no, enough's enough. And that just – it just showed you. And I think that's what they learned from the Chargers game, Brandon, because if you think – you know, there was a couple of calls where, you remember, deep in our territory, it was, I think, 3rd and 2 or 4th and 2, and then they went to go for it. Then they sent out the kicker, and then Tucker, and it seemed we lost by 1 point. So who knows if we'd have went for it deeper in our territory, or, you know, and then it's just those kind of things you got to think about. So to me, it was an impressive win, 28-13. Man, was I impressed.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was going to be down to the wire, kind of like that Chargers game where it was going to be, you know, a 1-2 point right. game, something like that. I do want to jump onto that that 4-1 play. I feel as if the Ravens have been a little bit gun shy this season with making right. those 4-1 plays, 4 inches, you know, whatever, and going to Justin Tucker and kind of just punting it away and not going for it, not trying for it. I think what happened, what you brought up, losing against the Chargers in such a small margin, you know, what was it? It was a one point
34-33.
Yeah. Yep. So 1 point right there. I feel as if, maybe for John Harbaugh, who may have been, thinking earlier in their season, we don't have to worry about that right now. Don't do the 4th and whatever. Don't do that now because we're still going to be okay down the road. So maybe going up against the Chargers, realizing how close games can get, he decided this is the point in the season where we are going to try for it. We are going to go for it. And he went with that 4th and 1. I fully support him doing that, and I think that was the right move. I wish he would have started doing this a little bit earlier in the season, but at this point right now, like you said, if the Ravens were to lose last Sunday, the playoffs were, you know, would be a long shot. It would be very hard to achieve that goal. So I'm very happy that Harbaugh decided now is the time to do it. This is when we've decided, and that 4th and 1 was the right call.
It was the right call, and here's the thing. You know how Harbaugh's always said this in the press conferences, you know, sometimes when the plays work, you know, hey, he always jokes with me, but he's dead serious when he says it. It's, you know, you would have been second guess me if we had went for it and it didn't work. Or, you know, now if it does, you know, you're praising us. The plays, it's a 50-50 shot. You're either going to make it or you're not. You got to go out there and run the play. It's about the right call at the right time. And, you know, speaking about goals, you're right. You know, not only the playoffs, but here's the thing. We talked about this pre-show, and I wanted to bring this up. You know, you brought this up. How about Skip Bayless? And you alerted me of the tweet. I was unaware. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Brandon. That you said that Skip Bayless actually tweeted out that he picked the Ravens to win the AFC North, for that matter. And you're right. Speaking of goals, we could have a division crown and a home playoff game, which all said and done, because of what transpired this past Sunday. And I really hate to say this, but we did have the Steelers Bengals game on one TV at the place we're watching it, and we had the Colts and the Browns game, so we'd be close eye. I hated rooting for Pittsburgh, and I'll be honest with you, the whole bar was we had to be pro Steelers, and that's the only time I'll probably ever say that, unless they're playing, you know, some other team. I don't know, but I can never root for the Steelers ever again. But that was the game to happen, because here's what happened. The Steelers trounced the Bengals, and they just handed it to them.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Andrew Luck and the Colts came back on the Browns, which the Browns were up 21-7 early in this game. They came back to win 25-24. And here's how it sets up, ladies and gentlemen. You ready for this? This is what's very interesting. How the AFC North stacks up with 3 weeks left. If anybody watched the game last night, Monday Night Football, it was a great game, a shootout. The Falcons came back. Julio Jones, 259 yards. I don't know how serious his injury is. But if he plays Sunday, the Steelers got to play the Falcons, who are up on the upswing. Okay? They have a potent offense. They went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. That game was a shootout. They only lost by 6 points, I believe, 37-43. They could have won that game. With that being said, the Browns play the Bengals. You follow that so far? I know it can be confusing. But here's the thing. With that Browns loss, this is huge, because now we have to, you know, secretly root for the Falcons to knock off the Steelers, and we have to root for the Browns to beat the Bengals. If we take care of business against Jacksonville, by that Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, this team could be in first place with 2 weeks left to go, man. We went out, and that happens. That scenario happens. We're AFC North chance, and we're playing a home game in January, first weekend of January. How's that sound?
You know what? That sounds pretty good to me.
Isn't it crazy considering, Brandon, how the loss of the Chargers and some of the losses we took this year, this team is not out of it. We're 8-5. We're 3 games above 500, and again, with that loss, we solidify a non-losing season again for, what, the 6th, 7th year in a row since 2007? I mean, come on, guys. We're right here, man. This is exciting.
Yeah, this is very exciting. And even if you're a football fan, doesn't even matter if you're a Ravens fan, just a football fan in general, you got to be watching the AFC North, and you got to be just intrigued with what's going on, because it is so tight right now. I mean, it's so anybody could go away with it right now. And hopefully, for our sake, it's the Ravens, because that's we want to see them the champs once again. So one more thing I want to bring up about this Miami game, we did have Danny Goyer go down with an injury. It's ending his season. Is losing him a huge impact for this team? Because personally, for me, I like the guy. He came out for his first game back with the Ravens, got an interception. But I don't feel as if he's added a giant amount to the secondary that, you know, somebody else could replace him.
I mean, it is a big loss because he was doing a fairly decent job in the place of all of our injuries, of all that's going on with Jimmy Smith being out for the year. Hate to see him go down, man. He was doing a great job on Sunday, you know, shutting down the passing game. We had really no big plays that blew the lid off the secondary. They didn't really, they started to. You seen flashes of it, but they really kept them at bay. And apart from that first quarter touchdown, I mean, the team scored 3 total points to 3 3/4 of football, and they scored 10 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And they could have had 14. That field goal, I think it was in the red zone, and then we held them. So our defense bent and didn't, break there. So we impressed there. But you're right, man. Any glaring loss in the secondary, especially how thin we are and how suspect our secondary can be, it's a huge loss. But with that being said, the Ravens, this is how great this team is. They jump right on it. Signed veteran Antoine Casey, who played for Carolina. Steve Smith's former teammate. I'm familiar with him. He's a very decent corner, and I'm really, welcome to the Ravens, Antoine. And I really can't wait to see what he brings on Sunday. And I think he's brought in. He's going to start. So Danny Ward goes out. And the Ravens are just shows you the front office is very good. You know, they don't promote within. It's okay, well, we don't have any good corners left. Let's go get one. And they just grab a free agent and say, hey, let's strap up and go put on the purple and black line. Let's play football. And the Ravens are very good at that. They're very good at filling needs, filling holes wherever. And that's what makes this team great. And that's what shows a playoff contender when bodies go down, injuries happen. And they're still resilient. I mean, look, Dennis Pitta goes out, and look what happens. They, believe it or not, we're the top 10 offense in the NFL. I think we're number 6 in the top 10. So believe it or not, I think Kerry Kubiak's offenses right now at the Baltimore Ravens, believe it or not, I did read this today. I don't know the source, so can't quote it. I did skim through it, all the things I read today. The Ravens offense, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong with somebody, ranks 6 in the NFL as of right now, week 15. So telling you, very impressive. And I read from one of my friends on Facebook that Joe Flacco is the number 2 rated quarterback right behind Aaron Rodgers, which is crazy. So just because, like I said, the guy wins, he just wins. And right now, again, you take the losses with the wins, you take the good with the bad, you take the ugly with the great. But here's the thing. This team sits at 8-5 with the easiest schedule remaining of the playoff contenders. And I think the Bengals, they said they had the second easiest schedule. I don't know who it is behind us, but we have – the Jaguars, the Houston Texans, and the Cleveland Browns. And Cleveland Browns fall off the wagon. I mean, they're starting Johnny Manziel. Who knew that was a matter of time? You're making a quarterback switch in the midst of a playoff hunt. I mean, yeah, the Ravens fired their offensive coordinator, but quarterback switch, that's the captain under your offense, man. Brian Hoyer's led them all the way this far. Are you going to change quarterbacks? It spells doom for the Browns, but hopefully they can beat the Bengals on Sunday. But right now, if you just take Jacksonville, it's Jacksonville. If we come out of our home crowd, they come out in front of the home crowd fired up. This team would be not. I'm telling you, man, it sets up nicely, and I couldn't be even more pleased right now with the way things are going and how they've tackled adversity. And I'm telling you what, man, I love John Harbaugh. I'm gonna post this up on the Facebook page, but I hope I don't mind mentioning get choked up. I just love this team so much. I'm gonna share something with you guys.
All right,
Brandon, I don't know if you recall the speech. I think it was the last time want to say it was 09. Can't remember the last. See, it sucks. It's so many greats and sexes. The last time the Ravens won AFC North, and Harbaugh made a speech. And they kind of fired me up on Sunday before the game. I was just jacked up. I watched the game at a bar, and I had a raspy voice after the game. That's how fired up I was, bro. My mom was like, "You weren't at the game. The game was away." I said, "I'm still get wound up because I got choked up pregame." Harbaugh, if anybody remembers this, this was a great speech. He wrote on a card. He got together the team, and he wrote down a card through adversity, and he said that he wrote down the card that he said, "One in purpose, one in spirit. Do not, you know, do nothing out of your own selfish ambition, but to the interest of others. Be a servant, be a leader." And as eerie as that was, I was in church that Sunday morning before the Dolphins Ravens game, and my pastor, I'm gonna shout it out. He spoke of the same word, and he said it was about being humble and about, you know, being that servant, being a leader, and being leadership. The leadership qualities, and it was just like, man. And this all ties in together with the 4th-and-1 call too, Brandon. It's no matter if you love him or hate him, I love John Harbaugh as our coach. He instills greatness in players, and I'm getting chills thinking about it. I don't know if you watched it, Brandon. I love watching the tapes after a win or loss of these locker room speeches. Mm-hmm. And Harbaugh was fired up. The locker room was fired up. Steve Smith was fired up. This team, I'm telling you, they're dangerous. And I wouldn't want to play them if I was an opponent because I love the way John Harbaugh has this team. Love them or hate them. And I just don't understand how some of the media members out there were like, "Oh, a bad decision for Harb to go for it, even though it was a success." And then they're praising him for gutsy call leads Ravens or marks Ravens season 2 win. I'm like, you guys don't even know. You can't go backwards on what you said. If either you disagree with the coach or you agree with the coach, don't double dip. So I just want to stay on record. I love the way this team's headed. I love John Harbaugh and what he has brought to the table so far in the scope of things. And he has this team ready and built for a championship run this year, and I believe it.
Yeah.
As crazy as it sounds, man, of all the injuries and everything, man, I believe my whole heart. I'm ready to root on Sunday and really go hard at it against Jacksonville. Yes, it's Jacksonville Jaguars, but we did play them on the Monday football games some years ago on a 12-4 record, and they were one of our 4 losses on a Monday football game. They can beat us if we're not careful, but it is a rookie quarterback. It is a home game. It is the second to last home game, if you will. So I'm ready to get after it, man. I'm passionate today. This week, I'm fired up, bro. I mean, I know last week I was a little somber after the loss, and you know, I was kind of like, I really didn't know how to feel, and I wanted to wait and see what happens now. It's just there's new life, and there's new life right now, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into the Jacksonville game, though, mm-hmm. real quick, I do want to bring this up. I tweeted to you. I think it was yesterday, and yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of us going to the Ravens Minnesota Vikings game that was in the snow.
Sir.
Now, if you want to hear about our experience at that game a year ago, all you have to do is go back into our archives at thecall.brandocash.com and listen to that episode. But real quick, before we start talking about the Jacksonville game coming up, I want to go back to that game because I've said it before in a tweet to you. I've told you in person this many times. That was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had at a live sporting event. It was an incredible experience to be, you know, up in the nosebleeds at Raven Stadium while it is just, you know, it's like almost blizzard-like conditions after they did the pyro and the fire and everything where you couldn't even see right. The field. And the actual game wasn't the most fun thing to watch because it was a little slow up until like that last 2 minutes where everybody was just running back and forth getting touchdowns. And the thing that I remember most about that game was at the very end when Marlon Brown got that touchdown to kind of confirm that the Ravens were winning this game. They put on the Jumbotron his footprints in the snow to show that he had both feet down in the end zone. It was not out, you know, it was going to count, and us just kind of going crazy that they actually were able to come out with a win. But, you know, if you want to hear the whole thing, go back to one of the old episodes. But Josh, you got to tell me, I love that experience. What was that game like for you?
Oh my God, man. You just give me more fired up. That game was probably in person. And here's the thing, that same year, granted, I was at the 61-yarder on Monday football, so Justin Tucker, I've had some experiences that year, but that game goes down in Ravens history, speed being there in person, as one of the greatest regular season games ever. I mean, I'm going to say games at home because obviously I was there for the playoff run and Ray Lewis's last dance and all that mess, so that was an honor and a treat itself. But and being there with you, being there with one of my best friends, Paul, it was just a treat. And the way the game went, man, the snow, we were tailgating, it started snowing, we got there. I think I haven't experienced a snow game in years, man. It seems like, you know, it never happens in Baltimore, and I love snow games, man. That's football weather right there, and how the field was covered, and how the game went. It was neck and neck, and then how they traded blows, man. It was, they scored 5 touchdowns between 2 teams in a matter of 2 minutes. It was, you know, they ripped off a run. Then we went down, and Dennis Pitta scored a touchdown. Then they returned, I think they returned a kickoff, or I think Patterson scored a touchdown, and then Jacoby Jones ran it back. And then Toby Gerhart runs, and then all of a sudden we go down the field, no timeouts, and 4 seconds left. Marlon Brown catches the touchdown, game winner. It was the most. It was like, yes, we're winning. No, are you kidding me? It was just the range of emotions and going through it all. I've never been a part of that, and I'll never forget that the rest of my life, man. And I have the pictures to prove we were there. I have the ticket stuff, and I got the picture because that week I went to meet Marlon Brown, and he signed the game winning touchdown. In person, and I have those, and maybe I'll post them for nostalgia's sake when I'll tag you in them. But it was just a treat, man. I'll never forget that for the rest of my life, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Me neither. It was great. It was a great experience, you know, with Paul and you there. I mean, you guys are going crazy. And you know me, when I'm watching a game, I'm pretty quiet because I'm just like, I almost forget to breathe half the time watching these games. But you're jumping up and down. You're cheering enough for the both of us. But
I roll.
Yeah, absolutely. Post that to the call or the facebook.com/thecallpodcast. That way everybody can see it. That would be really cool. And
man, I mean, post the pictures of the stadium as well as meeting Marlon Brown. I'll do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what? But just a year later, looking at those pictures just took me back going, wow, what a great experience. What a just, I mean, something I'll tell, you know, my grandkids about this game that was in the snow and how crazy it was and walking down all those flights of stairs from the top of the stadium, not being able to feel my feet and feeling numb. I think I'm still thawing out a year later. But, man, what a fun game. Yeah, what a fun game. Such a good experience. We're going to jump into the Jacksonville.
We got breaking news, man. We can't forget this, man.
What's that?
Remember, what about the unsung MVP of the game? And I forgot. I think of all the excitement in the hoopla, the playoff run, and the game winning, and 28-13, and everything. But what about what our defense is doing, especially Elvis Dumervil? We have to touch on this. This is important, man. And I almost forgot, but I'm looking at my notes here on my tablet, and kind of. I know we can get away ahead of ourselves sometimes, but I definitely want to bring this to light because this is an honor. An accomplishment for a Raven who's only been with us for 3 years, or 2 years, I should say. And Elvis Dumervil, he wears number 58. And if you recall, one of our all-time beloved old-school players, Peter Boulware, Super Bowl 35 champion with the Baltimore Ravens, he was a Ravens single-season sack with franchise, and NFL with franchise record with 13.5 sacks. And Elvis Dumervil was leading into the game, and he was having a monster year. And the boy posted 3.5 sacks on Ryan Tannehill, which vaulted him into the lead. And I just want to give a great shout out to Elvis Dumervil and his personal accomplishment with the team. He's been here 2 great years, and especially with complimenting Suggs, I think that's an honor. And especially how he fell into our lap and how we were able to acquire him and how things happen for a reason. And I think it's really fitting how he wears Bulwer's number 58. So, and I think that's just eerie in itself, and it's also great. But not only that, but Brandon, he's actually 6.5 sacks off the pace for the NFL record, which Michael Strahan set. Now, believe it or not, I think he got against Brett Favre, if I'm not mistaken. I remember that game. So, 6.5 sacks, if he gets about 2.5 sacks a game, even if he gets 3 in the next 3 games, he could easily be breaking the record, and it could happen in the season finale at home against the Browns. And wouldn't that be fitting if Johnny Manziel's the quarterback and he just eats him alive for lunch and gets about 3 or 4 sacks that game to get the right? I would love it, man. And shout out to Elvis Dumervil, unsung hero. Doom. And we might have to change our not to say for the superstitions part of it, but I mean, I know Haluti Nod is always going to be up there. I mean, yeah, the PEDs and all that and Adderall, but now maybe we could throw a little Doom in there at the end of the show. I don't know, man, but Doom. He's been coming to his own here in the Ravens, man. I've been impressed with him, and I wanted to get – that's a great accomplishment, and it can't be – I know with the excitement and the hoopla, the Ravens playoff run right now and the win, it can go unnoticed, but it's a big accomplishment, and it was great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And Elvis Dumervil, thank you. As always, we got to thank the fax machine for Elvis Dumervil. That was our biggest unsigned hero.
eBay. Brandon, you think that's on eBay somewhere?
Oh, it should be. Let's just put one on eBay and say it's the right one.
Well, I tell you what, if he breaks the NFL record, you know that fax machine's going to be on eBay somewhere.
Oh yeah,
I'll probably buy it just because I'm just crazy like that. Shout out to Doom, and let's see what he can bring to the table. And not only that, but before we get to Jacksonville, that's another key thing that I want to segue into Jacksonville is the pass rush. A lot of times, and remember how we were talking about it in the Chargers game? We broke it down last week how on third down they weren't bringing the pressure. A lot of like they did sometimes, but they didn't. And I think this time in the key situations, they brought the heat, and they were getting – to Tannehill, and it was causing a lot of disruptiveness. And it's seeing that goes unnoticed on the stat sheet, even though it is 3.5 sacks in Durbinville and as the other players get sacks. But pressures, they're not on the stat sheet. They hurried and pressured him to where he had to run outside of pocket, break down the routes, and it was just – they were – from the second quarter in, they were relentless. And I was loving it, man. I love the pressure they were putting on. And hopefully that carries over to Jacksonville, because that's a key thing, man, is pressure, especially with a rookie quarterback coming home. We got the crowd on defense, man. I'm going to be fired up. This is where it needs to happen, in the trenches, man. You need the pressure.
Absolutely. So before we start talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars in depth, we're going to take a quick break. Here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. All right, here we go, guys. Welcome back to The Call. The Ravens are up against the Jaguars this Sunday night. Actually, no, it's not night. It's 1 o'clock. So depending on what time you get up, it might be night or day, whatever is up to you guys.
I wish it was Sunday night.
Yeah. All right, so we kind of touched on it a little bit already, but let's talk about this. Jaguars, they're an okay team. They're not the greatest team in the world. They're not the worst team in the world either. They're kind of one of those in-the-middle teams. What's going to be the biggest factor here for the Ravens to make sure that they get away with a win this Sunday?
All right, Brandon, I've already said it once before, and I'll bring it to the table again, is pressure on the quarterback. Blake Bortles, rookie quarterback, Jacksonville, you got to bring the pressure, especially on third down. If it's third down and ninth, even third down short, I'd rather them beat us on third down. See, this is what was really, really irking me with the Chargers game a couple weeks ago until now. And they did it in Monday Night Football against Drew Brees. And it just was frustrating where they dialed up the pressure and in the key situations, but here's the thing, they did not do it. And they allowed them. I said, I'd rather get beat on third down, blitzing, and go, okay, we blitz, and then you beat us man-to-man coverage. Good job. You put the throw there. You got out in time. I'd rather you beat us with the raw talent like that than, oh, we only rush three or four. We sit back there, and then our defense can cover, and they're throwing wide open. Antonio Gates 2 weeks ago was killing us. It was 3rd and 9. We were up on defense screaming, it's third down. We're up. We're clapping. And then the defense goes back into a zone prevent, and it's a first down, 15-yard game. You gotta be kidding me! It just made me sick to my stomach, because it's just like, where's the pressure? You know, third down, you got to go after them. I mean, first down, second down is okay, but third down, you need to know, they need to know you're coming, and you're coming hard. I mean, I see it all over the NFL. These defensive coordinators dial the pressure, and we did it on Sunday. So it starts with the defense side of the football. It'll help the secondary out if the front seven can withstand another game of the four-game suspension with Haloti Ngata. And granted, here's another thing, too. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but we take care of business in the next three games. We get Haloti back for the playoffs.
Ooh.
So that's another scary thing. He's not gone for the season. You have to think, he's going till the end of the season. He's not injured or anything. So, and he'll come back fresh. you know, God, I really hope he's working out, not sitting there eating some Royal Farms chicken. I really hope he's getting in shape, man, because and just to have him back for that. But that's what I'm saying. The pass rush has got to be there. The run stopping again, going for a 24th straight game, I'm not letting 100-yard rusher. I think it can happen. It starts up front for the defense because the secondary is going to get hit. And also, I want to see how Antoine Kaysen fits into the secondary scheme.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting game with Haloti gone, which, by the way, a little side note here. I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently Haloti came out and said the reason why he was taking Adderall was because he was home with his kids for the holidays and he was having trouble focusing on his family and football all at the same time. Kind of a weird reason to take that medicine, but whatever. Go ahead.
Well, and that brings up a good point. You're right, because, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually had it in my notes from before, but I just not teased it with you. You know, they were classifying Adderall as a PED. PED stands for performance enhancing drugs. And you're right. And that brings up a very valid point that, look what we do in society today. What do we promote? Because we're busy professionals. We you know, we have one and two and three jobs sometimes. I mean, I have two jobs. I work, you know, 52 to 56 hours a week sometimes. I'm crazy. And then I go to Ravens games all day on Sunday. I'm definitely crazy. I just have no time. And I mean, people sometimes run on 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And when you bring up a good point, and I did hear that, and this is why, and I'm glad we're talking about this, is what I teased about, you know, in a real world, how about coffee and Red Bull? Are they PEDs? Because, yes, performance enhancing drug, but if Haloti's got to take Adderall to focus, what does the side of the Red Bull can say when we drink it? It enhances metabolism, performance, focus. Gives you energy. It has, you know, the B12 taurine, and it's a stimulant. It wakes you up. I mean, I drink my Red Bulls at work because I wake up at the crack of dawn, and I got to be at work. I'm working 10-hour days, so I drink my Red Bull 7:30 in the morning. Helps me focus for the first three hours of my day, and I drink a coffee in the afternoon, so I get my caffeine fill. If that's the case, would you think that coffee and Red Bull are PEDs? I'm not saying the NFL players are taking them, but wouldn't you then outlaw energy drinks? Are they classified as a PED? What do you think?
I think energy drinks and that kind of drug, there's definitely a little bit of difference. But like the big thing for me is that I don't know if this is like it is in the MLB, but if Haloti has to take that medicine for specific reasons, like all you had to do was get it approved. Like you don't have to take it secret, you know, just get a doctor to sign you a note and give it to the front office, and that it would have been that easy. If he's taking it, like if it's prescribed to him, I don't have a problem with him taking it. If he's getting it from somebody, I think that's the big issue with maybe the NFL or you know, that's why they're saying it's a PED. If you're taking it because it does help you focus. I mean, it is for people with, you know, ADD. It's for them to be able to focus on something. So if he's taking it to focus on the ball more and, like, so his mind doesn't wander if the game is slow or whatever, then, yeah, I can see it being a PED. But I don't really think it's due to if he's on it, he's going to play better. If he's not on it, whatever. I think the big thing is how they get the drugs. I think that's what the NFL is really fighting against. And they're going to say it's a PED, but it's really, like, how did you get this into your system, I guess?
Right. And I think it's absurd. And I know, again, you know, going back to Chris Davis and the Major League's got trouble with it in Baltimore. Haloti got trouble with it. I mean, if Adderall's on the list, I don't know if the NFL I'm pretty sure they do. They have a list of these drugs say, okay, you cannot take these. You cannot have them in your system whatsoever. Then, you know, if that's the case and these players know that, then I guess they shouldn't take it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless he took it, didn't really realize it, and they did one of those. I mean, I don't know how the NFL does it again. The random drug test, maybe, and it was like, Haloti got popped, and he couldn't hide it, and this is what it is. And they got positive tests, and go, hey, we got to suspend you. These are the rules. And you know, and Adderall, I can understand it, if it's not over the counter, if it's prescribed, you just got to be a little smarter, man. You got to know the NFL and the way they run things. You know, not saying be sneaky. Don't want any players to be sneaky. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go under radar, but you got to take the proper precautions, like you said, Brandon, be more careful and get his prescription. You know, not saying Haloti's a dumb guy. No, I mean, he's a smart guy. Came from the University of Oregon. He's a Pro Bowl, all-pro tackle. I mean, it's great to see, man. And I know we all make mistakes. I mean, with the Ray Rice incident to what I've done personally, we all are human. We make mistakes every day. We fall. And that's what the human element of life is. We make no choices, bad or good. But you're right. He's got to think there, hey, I should get a prescription to cover my butt because the NFL might come after me and I could hurt my – you just got to think, man. But going into the game plan. You know, we've been good for so far after one game, three to go. If we can end up getting a division win, he can come back. But focusing, and I know these guys go through a lot, Brandon, focusing on family and football and being away and, you know, some being away from the famous lot. And these guys do take a toll. I mean,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, everybody gripes about they make millions of dollars and we have Marines and military and all that, you know, getting paid, you know, crappy salaries and teachers and lawyers and and then these guys are just, they're running around catching footballs and going after quarterbacks and sacking quarterbacks and they make millions. But then you see with the concussions and the lawsuits and then the, and I'm not saying, you know, woe is me, they're millionaires, but they go through a lot too. I mean, they train, they takes a toll on their body. They basically put their bodies on the line for the sake of our entertainment, you know, and that's why I defend their salaries, because if you had to do that, I mean, I work out and working out's tough. I don't know if any of you go to gym, but gym is hard work, man. I do leg day, and I could barely walk the next day. These guys are in the gym doing this daily. Under, it's just part of their regimen. I mean, Ray Lewis trains like a freak. He still does at, you know, 38 years old. He keeps in the top shape. It's not easy, man. And if you take to any athlete, whether it's semi-pro, a college athlete, you know, these guys have to, you know, they look into seeking these type of drugs. No, not the gaining edge drugs like steroids or anything like that. But no wonder they take Adderall and all that, because they're trying to get, you know, that focus and that energy level up. But he'll already went about the wrong way, and not, you know, it could be a selfish act. I don't know. I mean, not going to say play the dumb card. He didn't know any better. I believe he fully well knew better. But I think what you brought up a point is he should have just been smart about it. Went to the doctor, got the paper, said, "Hey, I got it from my doc. I'm good to go. Let's play football." And he didn't do it. He just took it and got zinged for it, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. The same thing happened with Asa Jackson last year. He got popped for six games because it was a prescribed drug and he didn't have his paperwork done. And then, boom, there he goes. You got to have the paperwork done. I believe when Ray Lewis had that, you know, that crazy, like, super shredder mask on for his last season. After after that season, they outlawed those types of masks. But Chris Canty needed one because of... Yeah, because it was a medical reason, because of, like, to protect his eyes or whatever. So he got a note, and he got to wear them, and I don't know if he still does, but I think at that point he was. So, like, just do the proper paperwork, and I think that's what they're really fighting against.
I think if you guys are smart enough to know that. File your paperwork, everything will be fine, but, you know, it is what it is. You got to move on.
Yeah, so let's get back to this game here. So right now the Jaguars are 2-11. I mean, not a good record for these guys. But if you look at some of these losses, some of them are close, some of them are blowouts, and it looks like you know, they kind of top out at, you know, 25 points in some games. They get low as 3. So this team can score when it wants to. But the big question is, like, what are we going to do with this? Like, the secondary is always a big question here. Haloti's gone. So there's going to be, you know, room for guys to run. Will our defense, I think you already touched on this a little bit, but will our defense be able to keep the Jaguars to a low scoring game and letting the offense do their job? Because, I mean, for what it's worth, I feel as if this is going to be a very important game for the offense in the home stretch here to kind of get, even though they're doing somewhat well, even though I'm not a huge fan of the offensive line and keeping Joe on his feet, that's what I want. But maybe this is going to be a good, like, morale boost for this team on offense, because it seems as if some of these games can kind of get away from the Jaguars. You look at them and they're, you know, 23-3 up against the right kind of quarterback. Do you think this is going to be kind of asking you two questions here? You already touched on a little bit, but will the defense be able to hold this quarterback back so he doesn't, you know, get his plays off? And will this offense be able to take on the Jaguar defense and kind of do his thing against these guys?
Yes, I believe they will. I think everything will hold up on its own. Not to say the same thing about the opponent, but I think the Ravens are going to play up for this one. You know how the old saying is, the Ravens usually play to their opponent, whether it's down if it's a sucky one or up if it's a good one. And they just say sometimes they can't beat the teams they're supposed to beat. But this one, being in front of our crown, how the momentum and how the team is fired up, I don't think that they're going to be a letdown. I think if the game's going to be won in the trenches, I think Flacco's going to remain upright. I don't see any pressure on the defense. I've broken down some of their statistics a little bit in the days coming after the Ravens win this past weekend. And, you know, Jacksonville's defense is unimpressive to me. Again, they are an NFL team. I'm not going to disrespect them in that light, because it's any given Sunday, these guys are paid professionals. Whether hey, the Dolphins were winless 1 year and they went 1-15 and we were their only win.
I remember that. Happen.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I'm just saying, don't take an opponent lightly, because if we don't show up to play, we could be losing 10-0 again on Sunday and we have to go, hey, wake the heck up. So I don't think it will happen. It could. I don't personally think it will. I think what the Ravens are going to do is they're going to come out, they're going to score a touchdown the first offensive series, whether we get the ball first, which should happen because we usually defer if we win the coin toss to get the, you know, stick the ball in the second half. So I think our defense will, I think the game, this is how it's going to start. It's going to start, I'm predicting we're going to win the coin toss, we're going to defer, we're going to start on defense first, get the crowd in it early. I'll be in it. I think it's going to start 3-and-out, they're going to pressure, they're going to show them that, hey, and I think they're going to pressure Bortles once in that third down series. Three down series, they're going to punt the ball. Ravens are going to get the ball. They're going to go down marks and score 7. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're going to do it. And they're not going to look back. And I think that's how the game's going to start. It's going to start fast and furious. And I think that's what they need to get out to. And just basically just take care of Jacksonville. You know, you can't look ahead and go, okay, well, we got Houston. We got Cleveland at home. And I think what it starts with is you just got to take care of the business at hand. And I think with their opponent, comes at the right time, and it, I almost don't feel sorry for him, because Donnie, the Ravens can dominate this game the way they want to, and I think if they play the Raven way and they play the right way and the way they've been playing, especially bringing the last three quarters of the Dolphins game into play, I think everything was going to fall into place. But I'd say start fast and finish it. Yeah, finish drives. Another key thing is in the red zone, stop kicking field goals, guys. Leave Justin Tucker on the bench. You know, you got to finish. And I like to see if we're in fourth and short, third and short, go for it. I love the fact that Joe Flacco, we had a lot of quarterback sneaks there, because, you know, and that always scares me sometimes, because it just scares me a little bit, because, you know, with Flacco, his ball handling sometimes, and it could be a fumble there, you know, if he doesn't secure the football and tries to really get over anxious, it could be a missed snap there, he could lose the ball in the back of somebody he's blocking for. I mean, you never know, and there's a lot of bodies in there, a lot of hand swinging, a lot of movement, where you don't know where the ball can end up. I mean, if Joe just puts his head down and follows his blockers, fourth and two is doable with a quarterback sneak. And we've been getting 2 or 3 yards every quarterback sneak. So I love those play calling. I don't like the fact that we hand it off all the way deep backfield and they get penetration. Because if we hand it on fourth and one or third and one, and we're handed off 3 to 4 or 5 yards in the backfield, the defense gets penetration, they're stopped for 2 yard loss, and it's stopped. I'd like to see on fourth and one either keep it simple, hand it to the fullback with a juice check, or if Telfair can sneak in there, or his quarterback sneak, or just go it out wide, you know, run a sweep, you know, fake it inside and pitch it outside, let him run 2 or 3 yards outside for the first down, you know, or get it outside. I said that all the whole Chargers game, and I said it some of the Dolphins game. When you're fourth, when you line up short, run it outside. Don't run it in the pile of bodies, because, I mean, I know it's a design play, Brandon, but here's the thing. Running into a pile of 9, 10, 11 bodies is not going to get 2, 3, 4 yards forward. You got to bust through there. I'd rather fake it inside and do a counter outside. That's what I would call in that situation. Sometimes a bootleg play action. Drew Flagg impressed me starting a drive deep in RM territory on Sunday with a 15-yard dash up the middle. You know, the middle was open. The pocket collapsed and it was open. He did a pump fake and took it out of the field, and it was a first down. He slid for the first down, 15-yard gain. That's what I like to see. Drew Flagg being smart. Yes, and I know he took him to criticism, throwing the ball straight up in the air when he got blitzed. But there you take a sack. But there was 3 points off the board. And I think at that time, I think it was still 10-0, if I'm not mistaken at that point, or I think it was 10-3. I can't remember the score. But it was that we were in the red zone, and it was third down, and Flacco pretty much threw it straight up in the air in the middle of the end zone, and it was picked off. I mean, that was a boneheaded play, but Tom Brady on Sunday Football threw this kind of the same interception where it was just like, what are you thinking, dude? Tom Brady makes his mistakes. Peyton Manning makes his mistakes. But the problem is, no one's talking about that interception because we won the game, Brandon. See, these mistakes are magnified. If we'd have lost, we would have, and you would have been hearing people calling for Flacco's head, and what quarterback is that? But people make these mistakes, man. But again, he showed resilience. He took care of the football. He tucked it for a first down. They bounced back. So that interception's an afterthought, because who cares? He threw 2 touchdowns. It don't matter. So the fact remains is, Steve Smith stepped up. You know, he had a wide-open touchdown on a slant route. Got to take care of the football. So I think these guys just need to just execute plays better. You know, get involved early. You know, Steve Smith, he had a great game. He had a great touchdown catch. It was a great route in the corner of the end zone. But Steve Smith got to secure the football. He would have had 2. we could have really blown them out of the water. I mean, 28-13 is a great win, but you know, speaking of the game plan for Jacksonville, start fast, you know, finish drives in the red zone, and the defense needs to apply pressure, and I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I like what I saw this past week, at least ending a game. I mean, they ended up strong. I think this week you kind of focus on starting. You start a game quick, you end it, and you go into the locker room at halftime, and you're leading, or you at least you feel pretty good. That's going to be key right now. The Ravens show that they can play at least half a game, and that's what we want to see.
How about discipline? How about the discipline, too? Do you remember how the first quarter started? We had, I think, all six penalties in the first quarter, believe it or not, if that was the case. We lined up three on all sides. I think Durbinville was two of them. I think we're getting over, and I think that's a part of over-anxiousness because the Ravens want a pressure, and I think we're just not being careful there, and Suggs line up offside. You just got to know where you're lined up, and it's never happened before, these rash of penalties, but we got under control. I think the Ravens only had six or seven penalties all day, opposed to the 14 on last Sunday against the Chargers, so we cut the penalties in half. They played well-disciplined. I mean, they didn't play non-disciplined football, but it was just these untimely penalties. I mean, first and 10, you had offside penalties, first and 5. I mean, yeah, they're trying to get a jump off the ball, which I applaud because they're trying to get that edge, but you can't be lining up offside. You got to know where the ball is, and there's some critical junctures there where a penalty could cost them. I mean, if it's third down at 4 and we stop them on a fourth down and we get a penalty for offsides, that's a first down, then that could keep their drive alive, and that can lead to 3 or 7 points the other way. So you got to be careful. So these guys just got to know where you're at on the football field at all times. But I didn't really see any too many boneheaded penalties. We all know about the refs, about the NFL as a whole. We don't know about the calls. We already know that. But I think this was a well-disciplined game. Apart from the offside penalties, it just was frustrating in the fourth quarter because it was just the same mistakes repeating. But I really applaud, and whether it's coaching or whether it's the players alike or both combined, they got it all under control. And I really hope to see that on display on Sunday against Jacksonville, how, you know, if we can line up on the correct side of football, not really. And, yes, you want to time the blitzes, but just know your roles and not really get these careless penalties and just play smart, play at their head, and not get any too carried away out there.
Yeah, and just do what The Rock says. Know your role and shut your mouth.
That's right, man.
All right, man. Well, this was a pretty great show. I think we're pretty much done here. I think we both agree. We're both going for the Baltimore Ravens to come out with a win this Sunday, and I'm very happy to hear that. But did we miss anything for this show?
I would say not a chance on that one, man. Right. And I was trying to tweak this up a bit for some out there. I mean, maybe we could try to tweak it and throw a doom in there. I like the doom and the sacking and putting the end to all the business. Let's act like it's third down and Doom sacked him, and I don't know. I'm just getting carried away, but we need to import Doom in there somewhere, but not a chance. This show is a wrap, and I believe we're going to go for it for Jacksonville win. Hey, before we even get to that, how about our predictions, man?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do predictions. I'm predicting before we get to the not a chance, I'm predicting a 27-6 Ravens. I don't think we let off a touchdown.
I would be very happy to see that. How about we do I'll go a little bit higher, maybe let's do
higher.
Let's do 32, maybe 32-3.
You got some lofty expectations there, man. One field goal? That's impressive. I went to 2 field goals. You took them off the board and gave them to the Ravens. I like that.
Yeah, I want to see what happens soon. Maybe the wind becomes a factor. They don't even get the 3 points. I'm fine with that.
I don't even know what the weather's supposed to be. I'm just amped up to. I mean, I picked my tickets up tonight. I'm amped up to get down there, man. I would just work great to get over with so I can get to Sunday morning, man. This is going to be great.
That's right. So if you want to continue to talk Baltimore Ravens football, you know what to do. Tweet to me or Josh. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at Italian GQ52.
All right, very cool. Now, go to BrandoCash.com, get information about this show, all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/BrandoCash, and Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. You can listen to us for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. So we give you this show completely for free. We want you guys to continue to download, continue to listen to us every single week. We want to take you all the way to the Super Bowl. That's what we want to do with this podcast. podcast. But let's get this show bigger and better than it ever was before. You guys got to help us out. It's the holiday season. It's Christmas time. Don't buy us a gift. What you guys can do is spread the word about The Call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. You listen to The Call. It is free to download. It is radio on demand. Listen to it when you want to listen to it. Let people know about that. Let them know that they should listen as well. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks very much, man. And before we get to our wrap up here, I know you didn't get really on the show, but I wanted to say a prayer is extended to Cam Newton and his family. I know today he was involved in a serious car accident. Rolled the car 4 times. It looked devastating. Really hope he's okay. And I heard that he suffered 2 fractures in his back. He likely done for the year. But I really hope. I'm glad he wasn't really seriously injured. It looked a lot worse than it came out to be. So I just wanted to say, you know, with the Panthers, I know Steve Smith, he has connections there, and I'm sure he'll be asked about this week. And I just want to say, glad Cam's okay. Prayers and thoughts are out. You never want to see that happen.
No.
You know, even with an NFL player, non-NFL player for any of that matter, anybody, because it's a really scary thing out there. Be careful. But with that being said, this is it, man. 8-5, AFC North playoff run. Everything's right there, guys. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks, the highs and lows, the wins and losses, but it's right here. I've said the Ravens went out, we're going to be fine, and we're 1-0 in December. We play our best football at the end of the year, and couldn't come at a perfect time because, like I said, we took care of the Dolphins. We drowned those Dolphins on Sunday, as I said, and we're going to make sure we take it to the Jacksonville Jaguars, man. I mean, again, not to take any opinion lightly, but this one, I don't see it for Ravens having a problem. And with everything we talked about, I think if we execute the game plan, I think we're going to come out with a win and fired up down at M&T Bank Stadium. The semi-season finale at home, and for the 2014 season, let's get after it. Let's show these little kiddies that go back down to Florida and chill for the summer or spring or whatever they do down there, because Baltimore, we play football, and we play football well here, and we're going to show Jacksonville Jaguars we mean business and why we're a team to beat in AFC, and we're going to stomp them. Let's go. 1-2-3 Ravens, let's fly high over these Jaguars on Sunday. Let's go.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.